We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, of course known as your mayor of PHNX, and I'm joined by my vice mayor, my friend, and co-host, the one and only Thunderstick, Jesse Friedman.
We have baseball news, Derek. We have some things that actually happened over the weekend, and I've just been growing impatient the last 48 hours because we haven't had a podcast in a couple days now, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
Jesse, at one point you said to me, you said, Derek, I don't know how we're going to do five shows a week. I don't know how we're going to do this.
I think we have to do seven. We have to do seven.
You were like texting me over the course of the weekend. You wanted to do a special emergency podcast, all because we had something to talk about. It's exciting because we have been doing so little or so much with so little. But of course, we actually have some stuff to talk about. Before we get to that, I have to remind you that this show is brought to you by the fine folks at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Go download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team, and you can also bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. And that's on top of whatever you bet. So if you didn't get in on these super good brand new customer options last week, now's the time to do it. Now, you didn't miss out if you didn't do it. You have another chance to do it. You procrastinated, and you're lucky because the opportunity is still around. But of course, go get on the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use our code of PHNX to get that $280 in free bets for betting just $5 or more on any team to win, should they win their game. Jesse, yes, we have. Of course, we go away for a weekend. We relax. We take some time off. I drank some whiskey and wrote an article about Yasmani Tomas that made me angrier than it really should have. while we were enjoying the time off, of course, there is baseball news happening. We are going to push some of that off because, of course, baseball news doesn't just happen every day around these parts. So we gotta sandbag it a little bit, but we are going to discuss some of it. But you know, today is a special day of the week. It's not just any day around here on the PHNX D-backs podcast. Of course, today is Monday, and on Mondays, Jesse, you know what we do? We go to the mailbag.
Mailbox, always something interesting in my mailbox. I try to get to everything in my mailbox, and then once in a while, there's a letter that makes me go wow, wow. My mailbox, always something interesting in my mailbox.
Time to go to the mailbox. It's another mailbag Monday. I am cracking open a Four Peaks Brewing Company Redbird Lager in honor of our Arizona Cardinals. They're going to go into LA and trounce the Rams and move on to the divisional round. And they are going to smash that is later today, and I wish them nothing but the best, and I hope that they go smash Tom Brady too, who really should have the police called on him for what he did to the Eagles secondary today. But that's neither here nor there, because we, Jesse, are going to go to our mailbag. We're going to talk about our sport. We're going to talk about baseball. And we got some pretty good questions. We got some pretty good questions this week. We thank you guys, of course, as always. We got a couple from our guy, Jim Marshall, at Baseballed AZ. I got one from him from last week and one from this week that I have to get to. Of course, he always asks some great questions. And his first question, Jesse, was, how important do you think the Jeff Banister hiring as bench coach will be? He's known for his work with younger players. Now, first of all, I feel like we've talked about this quite a bit. I still can't get over how excited I am about this coaching staff, but I think we have talked a lot about Joe Mather and Brent Strom when it comes to their impact on the team. And even though we did have Jeff Banister on the show, I don't know if we've talked as much about what his impact on this team is going to be as bench coach. I know I personally feel like he is going to be just an advisor to Torey Lovullo for Lovullo to, have another point of view, have another baseball mind who's capable of managing a professional MLB team, give his opinion, give his two cents. I feel, based on knowing Torey Lovullo as long as I have, that he is the type of guy that's willing to listen to input from people with, especially that want to provide that input, right? I don't know if his prior bench coach was really involved in the process of his managerial decisions as much as Banister might end up being.
Banister is just we talked with him on the podcast, right? If any of our listeners right now missed that show, I think it's one of the most fun shows that we've done over these last few months. Jeff Banister was a terrific interview. I felt like we had to force him to leave almost at the end because the interview was going long and we didn't want to take too much of his time, but
had to force ourselves to stop talking to him.
That's kind of what happened.
I wanted to invite him to come be the third member of this podcast. Jesse said, that's a bad idea. His plate is full. I was like, all he could say is no, let's put the invite out there. He seems like he's into this. Right. But we didn't invite him on to be the permanent host, but I think, of course, that's because he is going to be busy as bench coach. Unfortunately, not going to be able to be a co-host on this show. I did want to, talk about his, impact on the young players, though, right? I think his impact on the young players, of course, obviously on the existing players, that's great. But, like Jim said, he's known for working with young players, and that's exactly what the Arizona Diamondbacks are focusing on going forward.
They have a lot, right? I mean, that's what their success in 2022 hinges on. It's less so, part of this is going to be, can guys like Madison Bumgarner bounce back? Can David Peralta have a solid walk year? Can Nick Ahmed bounce back? But more than anything, I think we all understand about this baseball team that their success hinges more than anything on the success of those young players, right? It's Josh Rojas, it's Pavin Smith, it's Geraldo Perdomo coming up and making some noise. It's, hopefully Ketel Marte being able to stay on the field, which I guess is a bit of a different matter. But this is sort of what Jeff Banister has created. That's how he's created a name for himself, right? He has a terrific reputation, as Jim mentioned, working with those younger guys. And I think it just couldn't be a better fit for this organization, as we've said, right? Coming into a year where so many of those young players are going to be in the spotlight, right? I think the Diamondbacks are going to be a lot faster to move on from the veteran, give the younger player an opportunity this next year. And Jeff Banister, is here to hopefully help the team get every little bit out of each of those players that they can.
And I think that there are going to be circumstances where Jeff Banister is going to be valuable to, obviously, for his tutelage. But I don't know, man. I think sometimes it's the difference of having bad friends or good friends, right? Like sometimes when you have good friends in life, they help you make the right decisions. Sometimes when you have bad friends, they don't really care, or you might not necessarily turn to them for their advice, right? Or if you don't trust those people, you might not rely on them for their advice. I think Torey Lovullo, I have no idea what his relationship with his bench coach was in the past, but I think there's a different level of trust with someone like Bannister. I think there's a different level of listening to someone like him. And again, having, you know, more than one kind of smart baseball mind in that dugout seems like a good thing, especially when the person that's leading this team, the manager, Lovullo, is open to other people's thoughts and ideas. Does seem like the kind of person that is a collaborator, right? More than necessarily like a dictator. He definitely seems like the kind of guy that really would take into consideration other people's opinions on, you know, big in big, maybe high pressure situations during games. So it's going to be interesting to see the impact that Bannister not only has on the young players coming up, but on Torey Lovullo's managing of baseball games.
Jeff Bannister, I mean, for me, what really stands out, maybe even more than his experience with the Rangers when he was the manager, but he was the bench coach in Pittsburgh for a number of years when they had a number of young players coming up. And I think way back when this hire first happened, Torey Lovullo pointed to that as one aspect of Bannister's resume that really stuck out to him, that really made him an attractive option for this opening that the Diamondbacks had. In the same way that Andrew McCutchen and Garrett Cole and, you know, some of those Pirates that turned out to be great players, in the same way that they thrived under Bannister, hopefully the Diamondbacks can get similar results with some of their young guys.
I love it. Well, Jim has another question. We're going to get to that shortly. But again, I just want to remind everybody to go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app. If you're a new customer, especially if you're an existing customer, you already know what you're doing, right? But if you're a new customer, I get it. You need to go over there. You need to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. First-time customers are going to get a deal of the century. Best deal of the season as far as the NFL goes. Right now, with the divisional round here, new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. And should they win their game, you will win $280 in free bets using our code of PHNX. You'll also get 56-1 odds for Super Bowl 56. That's crazy odds. Crazy odds boost. Get in there, make your bet, win your money, and then take your money and go maybe, you know, have yourself a Super Bowl party once that comes around. Not a new customer, you can still get in on the action with divisional round same game parlays. I've been doing that. I got a seven leg same game parlay going on right now as we speak for tonight's Arizona Cardinals game. I have all the confidence in the world in our Arizona Cardinals. And of course, I had to add some extra legs in there, because if you combine multiple bets from the same game, you'll get a bigger payout. More legs you add, more money you win. It's that simple. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit, withdraw your cash whenever you want. I won this weekend. I took that money out. I left just enough money in there for me to get that same game parlay going for tonight, the Arizona Cardinals versus the Rams. And I'm excited. Once I get that money, it's going to pay for my little trip over to Washington, D.C. this week. But you can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use our promo code of PHNX and get those 56-1 odds on any NFL team. You can bet $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. And you'll get your payout on top of that $280 in free bets. That's promo code PHNX for those 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. 21 and over only, Arizona only, gambling problem, dial 1-800-NEXT-STEP, new customers only, eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And of course, our friend, like I said, Jim Marshall, he has another question. And his question this week was, is Jake McCarthy still a player to watch for in 2022? And I find that to be an interesting question, because Jesse, I want to first ask you, is Jake McCarthy a player to watch, period?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Diamondbacks need someone to play center field, right? I mean, you kind of have to do that. We don't think it's going to be Ketel Marte at this point. I think we feel pretty confident saying he's at least going to play the majority of his time at second base. I think Dalton Varsho will still get some opportunity in center field. He was pretty solid there last year. But I don't know if they want either of those guys to be full-time options at this point. And as of right now, Derek, I mean, we talked last week about how the team probably isn't done. Once the lockout ends, we expect them to make a few more moves. Maybe center field is one of them. But as of now, Jake McCarthy is really the only other, you know, viable center field option. And he's probably the best center fielder defensively that they have right now. And I think that's going to be really important for them because the Diamondbacks have stressed that defense is going to be a big thing for them in 2022. They do not want to finish at the very bottom of the defensive rankings like they did this past season, right? And Jake McCarthy, as of right now, is at the top of that list, I think. And, you know, he gives you some speed on the base paths. We saw him showcase that last year. He handled the bat reasonably well in a short stint at the end of last season. So yeah, I think McCarthy will totally be in the mix. Ultimately, he's probably more of a fourth outfielder in the end, but it's not out of the question. He could get a lot of opportunity in center and maybe he finds a way to stick out there.
Jake McCarthy is a solid, in pro wrestling, we would say he's a good hand. Right. He's not going to be a superstar. I don't feel like he's going to be somebody that's going to necessarily be their everyday starter, but he's sure. A solid baseball player that came up, especially during a time where where the team needed someone to fill a gap that they currently had, you know, fill a loss that they had due to injury. And he was good enough in center field to allow them to remove Ketel Marte from that situation, right? He ended up leading the club with 3 outfield assists when all was said and done. He hit in 9. I think he went hit for 10 had a hit in 10 of his last 16 games. So he finished the season strong. I think more than anything, though, there's not a lot of pressure there for him to be some sort of or live up to some sort of expectations. Right.
Right. Right.
I talked about my piece with the Yasmani Tomas, and I felt like part of the problem with Tomas was the expectations that were set, right? Not only by his agent, but by the team and the way they talked about him, by his contract and the size of it, right? Sometimes when a big deal is made by somebody, even if they are a decent baseball player, it still looks like they're mediocre to bad because they're not living up to this great hype that they were going to be this amazing, you know, slugger and, you know, just incredible hitter at the plate. Jake right. McCarthy kind of came out of nowhere for this team. I don't even think a lot of people realized he was even out there in center field, you know? So like he was just there, but he did a good job in Reno. He actually led all of minor league in triples last season. So again, a solid baseball player and somebody who easily could progress and continue to get better. I think that's the thing now when I analyze baseball players throughout their career is the good baseball players have, you know, an arc, right? Where you can see them get good, then they achieve a certain level of success and they're able to kind of maintain that for a couple of seasons before they have the downturn, right? But to be honest, the average baseball player kind of just has a peak here or there. And then the rest kind of is mediocre to bad. So a lot of times it's, and then the great ones obviously have that big plateau where they get up to being at a certain level and then can just maintain it throughout the majority of their career before they start to, you know, kind of trail off and see their performance, you know, not be what it once was. Right. So the thing I'm excited about going back to the question with the coaching staff is to see what this coaching staff now assembled around Lavolo and the D-backs can do to get the most out of some of these guys, right? It's like someone like Jake McCarthy. I joked about him being a good hand and not a superstar, not a name brand or, you know, not a big name. Who knows what he could be, right?
Yeah. Like, he's only 24. He's a reasonably young guy he's not going to be 25 until July. So he's still, you know, a reasonably young player and certainly has a lot of room to improve.
And covering this team, man, I felt Lavolo's frustration when he talked about players not stepping up to the opportunity, right? It was like baseball players in a minor league level would kill for a situation like what was going on with the Diamondbacks last season. It wasn't great because it was chaotic, but it was great if you're one of those guys who really feels like if you were given an opportunity, you could shine. There wasn't a lot of guys coming up from the minor leagues that had this aggressive, grab the brass ring kind of attitude about the opportunity. And that's sure. what Lavallo had said he was looking for on more than one occasion. It's almost like he wasn't even looking for it. It was like he needed it to help the ball club at a major league level be able to go out there and be reasonably competitive due to the number of injuries they experience. I will say that Jake McCarthy is one of the few guys that did that, that came up at the major league level and took an opportunity, probably didn't have very much expected out of him, and did a good job, at least a good enough job to kind of win the position over for the remainder of the year and be there for the Diamondbacks in center field when they needed someone to fill that position. I don't know what his long-term, I don't know what his ceiling is. I feel like that, again, the fact that there aren't very high expectations allows him to not have that level of pressure against him that someone like Yasmani Tomas had against him.
Sure. The one I think issue that Jake McCarthy might have is that he is left-handed, and the Diamondbacks have a lot of left-handed hitters, right?
Yeah,
David
right.
Peralta, Pavin Smith, Josh Rojas, Cattell's a switch hitter, and Alec Thomas. The list goes on of guys we expect to see in 2022 who are lefties. So that's the one thing that might be a deterrent for McCarthy, and the team will need some more right-handed guys coming in off the bench, but certainly right now, I mean, they need someone to play center field, like I said, and Jake McCarthy is in my mind pretty much the best option for that, unless you want to put Dalton Varsho out there every day, which I don't. I would be pretty surprised if the Diamondbacks went in that direction.
And that brings us definitely to our final question when it comes to that need as far as positions go and what the Diamondbacks are going to do. But of course, Jesse, before we do that, I've talked about my article on gophnx.com, so I have to let everybody know, go over to gophnx.com right now, sign up to become a member. You can become an annual member, you'll get your free t-shirt over at the phnxlocker.com, and of course you will get access to our entire catalog of wonderful written pieces, as well as other membership perks. But I do have that piece over there on Yasmani Tomas. And to be honest, it was kind of interesting to really start digging into the concept of what was going on with Major League Baseball at the time. And again, it's kind of weird because going to international markets, especially the Caribbean, places like Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, all of that right now on the cusp of international signing, the international signing period just kicked off for MLB. Yeah. And it's, there's been a ton of signings, which we're going to talk about, but this actually, looking back on it, it wasn't as much of a trend as much as once Cuban players started defecting from Cuba and coming over, players that had shown that they had so much promise. I think the thought process with MLB teams were, if they were that good under that situation, imagine how good they can be here in the United States in such a better situation, right? Like a better situation, a better life. And you started to see these guys come over and just suddenly become, the talk of the league. It really doesn't, looking back on it, it doesn't make the Diamondbacks look as bad for pursuing him, in my mind. At least I kind of really looked at them, as being just really kind of like short-sighted in signing an unproven talent. But I found tweets from people that were reporters or blogs of other teams, and there were a lot of people that were mad at their team, their respective team, no matter what team it was, for not getting Yasmani Tomas at the time. They were actually mad because they felt like the Arizona Diamondbacks had kind of gotten him for a steal compared to what a lot of people thought Yasmani Tomas was going to be signed for by a team. It's all like a bizarro crazy world to me now, looking back on it in retrospect, knowing what we know. But at the time, it really wasn't seen as being this ludicrous of a deal, despite the fact that Yasmani Tomas was the highest paid position player in Arizona Diamondbacks history, right? So, but again, you got to go read the piece to get the rest of it. I'm teasing you on that much. That's how much I'm going to give you. But go phnx.com, sign up to become a member. If you don't want to become an annual member, you can get the month-to-month option, and you'll get your first month for just 50 cents. But you're missing out on the free T-shirt. I know after you get your first month, you're going to say, what am I doing? I need to stick around for the full year. So just save yourself that first 50 cents. Get yourself the annual membership. Get yourself the free T-shirt. Not this one I'm wearing. Yes, I am wearing the Coyotes cutout one again, just so I could brag on this show about the fact that it's sold out and that you can't currently purchase it. But there are many other shirts that you can purchase. And trust me, this one will be back. But get the shirts. Don't forget, pick up a $5 sticker pack. You're not going to be disappointed that you did. It's an incredible sticker pack, no matter what team you root for. And if you root for all the teams, then that's not very much to get all the sticker packs. You can get all of them. But yeah, go over to gophnx.com, sign up to become a member, and get that free T-shirt over at the phnxlocker.com. Jesse, our last question, of course, is about our international signing day. And yes, today is the start of international kickoff of international signing for the Major League Baseball. Actually, it had been shortened previously due to the pandemic, but this is the first year that they returned it to its earlier time, and it pretty much runs the entire year. There is like a month period of time that isn't international signing period when it comes to baseball, but that did not stop MLB teams from immediately going out there and making some big deals, including the biggest international, the top prospect was immediately scooped up by the Yankees, because of course he was. But the question from our friend Spencer O'Gara at Spencer_O'Gara asks, with all the international signings, in your opinions, did we land any Para, Inciarte, Perdomo, Robinson types? And would you prefer tweaks to the current system or an international draft with the new CBA? And yeah, that's a great question, because of course it is a situation where, you know, the rich get richer, and the teams, you know, like a team like the Yankees is of course able, you know, to land the number one prospect, Roderick Arias. But I don't know. I mean, again, it's kind of a weird situation. The Diamondbacks agreed to a deal with shortstop prospect Abdias de la Cruz for $1.2 million. He is a 17-year-old from the Dominican Republic, and he's currently ranked the number 36th ranked international prospect by MLB.com on their top 50 international prospects list. 6'3", 170 pounds. Bats from the right side, Jesse.
Yes, so, yes.
There you go. He's got a lot of power. And the Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, they do have the complex at Las Americas that they opened in 2020, and that's in the Dominican Republic. So the Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, they have the host site for MLB's trainer partnership program, and that is exactly where they are based out of to scout talent and see local talent in the Dominican Republic. So they're very familiar with Dominican talent, and I think they're probably pretty happy with being able to nab at least one of the top 50 international prospects.
He seems like a good pick. And to Spencer's question, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to make comps for, you know, a 17-year-old kid who's going to have to, you know, hone his skills in the minors for probably quite a few years. But Geraldo Perdomo is probably not a horrible comp, just because Perdomo is a similar size. I believe Perdomo is also around 6'2", 6'3". And I think you could kind of see either of those two guys getting into some power a little bit later in their career. Right now, De La Cruz, you mentioned he does have some power. It's probably more gap power at this point, with maybe some hope to develop that over time. His frame is pretty projectable, given the fact that he is 6'3", he's only 170 pounds so far. But yeah, I mean, this is an exciting time, because obviously we have baseball news, which in general is exciting. But yeah, I mean, the Diamondbacks, something happened. There you go. But the Diamondbacks did bring in a number of players. It's not just De La Cruz. They also brought in Gerald Nin as a shortstop, also out of the Dominican Republic. De La Cruz signed for $1.2 million. which is a pretty decent signing bonus. You mentioned he was 36th out of the top 50 on, I think it was MLB Pipeline who put out that list. But yeah, to the other question about, you know, just the process of how this international signing period works. One thing I will throw out there, the Diamondbacks actually have as much to spend as any team. The Yankees, I believe, have less to spend than the Diamondbacks do. It's all based on your international bonus pool, basically, that you're allotted at the beginning of the process.
The D-backs had a pool of roughly $6.5 million, $6.2 million.
Yeah, 6.2.
Reserved for teams who had a competitive balance round B pick in the previous MLB draft.
Right. So most teams didn't actually have that much. So the Diamondbacks have as much as any team in baseball to spend. So this is one of few processes in baseball that theoretically is maybe a little bit less prone to, you know, the big markets kind of taking everything over. But to your point,
I disagree with that, though, Jesse. There's a big difference. And I think especially having lived in Puerto Rico, not when I was little, but like when I was a sophomore in high school, I specifically remember every kid on that island being a Yankees fan or a Mets fan. You know what I mean? So it's like, it was like Yankees, Pirates, or Mets seem to be your choice. Now, a lot of that is the influence of, you know, great players and things like that on the people of the island and, you know, sure. Generations. It's, you know, when you're someplace that doesn't have a baseball team, you can pick wherever. But I think that, again, it is an advantage of these big market teams because their fandom just stretches farther.
Yeah.
And when you grow up, you know, when you grow up a little kid that's a fan of the Yankees, that's your dream is to go, you know, play for the Yankees. And when you have a choice on to either play for the Arizona Diamondbacks or the New York Yankees, chances are 9 times out of 10, you're going to take the team you're familiar with and the Yankees, right? I love to throw out my pro wrestling metaphors and such on this podcast about baseball, but it's like WWE, right? The WWF, the WWE, we as kids grew up watching it, those of us that did, and you know, you're fans of it, and some people make that decision to go be a wrestler, and then they go work for that company, and they find out it's just a terrible place to work, right? And like it's a dream killer, you know, you go there and you find out that no matter how much you as a kid, you know, kind of put that place on a pedestal, you know, it might not actually be as great as you thought, right? It could be the same thing with baseball players, right? You're not making the decision initially on, you know, which team to go to on factors like that, right? Other people's stories, maybe, sure. You know, bad experiences people had with that organization, you're going to go to the team that you always dreamt of if given that opportunity.
Right. That's very fair. So that's probably, if anything, why this process is still a little bit broken. Maybe a draft system, as Spencer alluded to. I mean, maybe that would sort of mitigate this issue where, you know, if the Diamondbacks are picking first or whatever, then they're going to be in a position to just kind of take whoever they want. Whereas this system relies on, you know, building relationships with players. Sometimes these deals are reached really even a year or more before they're official, sure. Before they're made official, because you're cultivating relationships with these guys for a long period of time before you officially bring them in. So, a draft might kind of mess with that system a little bit, but.
Which again, even what the Arizona Diamondbacks are doing, which isn't a bad thing, it's a wonderful thing. It's an absolutely wonderful thing to have this complex in the Dominican Republic. But you know, when you look at it from a business perspective of making your baseball team, your baseball franchise better, it's not there for charity purposes. It's there to establish that relationship that you're talking about with the hopes that players that come through there and develop through the Diamondbacks, you know, training facility there in the Dominican Republic through their academy, then want to go on and be a part of the Diamondbacks organization, right? They now have that desire. That's their dream. Instead of the dream of, you know, watching Yankees on TV and wanting to be a Yankee, you are participating in this, you know, academy that this, you know, organization set up in your country, and now you want to be a part of that organization one time. That's your dream. It's a long-term goal, because they just opened this facility in 2020. But the hope is, with the way things are set up now, that can help them establish those relationships that you're talking about. A draft just seems entirely too fair at this point, Jesse. That makes too much sense. This whole thing doesn't make sense, that it's all automatically like a signing whoever agrees to it, right?
Imagine if they did a draft for free agency, and you just had to, like, and somehow money was no object. Like, you are required to just put out the money. So Diamondbacks get the first overall pick. Who do you want?
Oh, give me Mike Trout. Give me Goldschmidt back. I don't know. Give me Mark. I want Scherzer. Give me Scherzer. I want Scherzer back. Give me Scherzer back. I don't know. Yeah, no, totally. And I feel like this is different, because I feel this system with the international prospects is like the draft, right? These are players that have never played in the minor league. We're talking about 17-year-old, 18-year-old kids that probably have, like you said, if not the same process that still to go through that a kid coming out of high school has to go through, perhaps even longer, because you also have the fact that you need to acclimate to the United States away from the country that you've lived in your entire life. Right. To, you know, this versus a kid that lives here in Peoria all of a sudden now is a member of the Diamondbacks organization. Much different experiences there, right? As far as the timetable on getting that person up to speed and feeling comfortable and being a productive baseball player, which is the goal of this entire, you know, thing. I will say, though, that I think that some tweaks are needed to everything within the process for MLB. It's so weird that baseball, to me, I mean, don't get me wrong, hockey has a kind of a different process as well. It's not the same as some of the other major sports, but baseball just literally, when it comes to so much, does its own thing. And all the other sports have a very similar structure when it comes to what they're doing, you know, and the impact young players make, making them actually go to college, versus this weird, like, well, we can draft you out of high school, and then you can decide once you're drafted that you don't want to go to that team, and then you could go back and go to college and then come back in the draft. Like, that entire process is ridiculous. And I don't know. It just, everything with baseball seems to never fit what makes sense with sports, what other sports are doing.
Well, other sports don't have 40 rounds in their draft normally, right?
That's valid point.
It's sort of a different, the NBA has two rounds, right? So
one minor league organization, if anything, tied
right, yeah,
to the major league organization,
which still confuses me about basketball, because the Suns somehow just like relinquished their G League team, which I don't know exactly how that works. Like, you could just kind of get rid of it.
We don't want to do that anymore. We're done.
It's weird. Like, some teams have them and some teams don't, but baseball just has this massive conglomeration of minor league players. And there's, you know, even after the system was significantly made smaller recently, right? Every team lost a team or two from their minor league system. Even after that, I mean, there's still about five teams tied to every organization, and having to roster that many players, you kind of need some differences in some ways from how other sports operate. But I'm with you. There are probably some things that baseball could learn from how the other sports operate, like a salary cap, which is probably never going to happen, but here we are.
And it's so weird, the baseball ecosystem, because when you talk about those five teams, we talked a few weeks ago about baseball being sued about certain teams because they were dropped from the minor league system. And, you know, again, there's this entire other ecosystem of jobs and teams and such that all revolve around the minor league system. And their entire purpose is just to kind of have baseball games for these younger guys so that the big league club can determine who they want to pick and choose from. Right. Like, but it's become its own very important thing. So, you know, even getting rid of the minor league system as a whole would be a huge problem because of how big it is, right? And how many teams, you know, how many, you know, ballparks.
And there's you just can't because in, I mean, basketball, the difference between college and NBA is a lot smaller than the difference between college baseball and major, or especially high school baseball and major league baseball. Like if you're coming out of high school, I mean, you need several years playing somewhere before you're ready. And coming out of college, you know, because baseball teams have to draft so many players, a lot of the college players they're bringing over aren't major league ready after a season, you know, whereas in the NBA, if you only have two rounds that you're picking the best basketball players from the country, those guys are probably going to be able to make that transition a lot sooner. So it's really a very different situation that baseball is dealing with.
I guess another option would be for the international players to just go into the normal draft, which is what essentially international players do in the NBA, right? Like they're just in the draft, they're draft eligible, and the team can choose them.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, that would maybe be the most sensible option outside of what is currently being
done. Then screw that shit, Jesse. This is baseball. We're not sensible in baseball. We make right, jackass right, decisions around here. All right. Well, we appreciate your guys' questions again. We thank you so much. We couldn't do Mailbag Monday without you. And again, we look forward to doing this again next week. And also, we look forward to sandbagging some other stuff we have to talk about, because this has been quite the off season. And to actually have things to talk about, I'm with Jesse. I almost need to do an emergency podcast throughout the weekend. But instead, I enjoyed my weekend. I hope you guys did too. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. And I hope the Arizona Cardinals kick some motherfucking ass over in SoFi Stadium. I know our PHNX Cardinals team is out there covering it. It's great to see the ladies out there. And I'm excited for a big win tonight. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. But of course, all roads lead to @PHNX_sports. And that is on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You guys can also listen to us on any of your favorite audio podcast apps. Leave us a 5-star review. Subscribe to us on those apps. Go over to YouTube, subscribe there. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss any of the content put out by the PHNX team, especially on an important day like this. Win or lose, we're going to be there covering the Arizona Cardinals season till the very end. So make sure you stick around with us. And, you know, of course, you know, the Suns are going to make a run once these playoffs come around. So get down on the PHNX_Suns as well. We thank you guys so much. We need you to go over to the PHNX Locker, of course, PHNXLocker.com. There's some amazing shirts. They're all great. I love them all. I own 75% of them. And I say that truthfully and unashamed, because it's what I wear all the time now. So once you get these shirts, you'll realize they are the king of soft style. You won't want to stop wearing them, and you'll get them for all of your favorite Arizona teams. And of course, if you get a membership, that annual membership I was talking about earlier over at gophnx.com, you'll get one of those shirts for absolutely free. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Go over there, do that. Then go over to, you know, the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use our code of PHNX, and then you'll get your money back that you spent on the subscription, and it's going to be a wash. You'll have a subscription, you'll have a free t-shirt, you'll have the story of the thing you bet on to win some money, and it'll be an amazing weekend for you. We thank you guys again so much for checking out the show. On behalf of Jesse and myself, we appreciate you sticking around and sending us your questions for this Mailbag Monday. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you ask questions about baseball.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.